news and everything that you hear on KBOO. You can do it. Make that call now. We're waiting. Our phone answers are standing by. Actually, they're sitting. But as we go now to the KBOO evening news. Yeah. KBOO evening news. Okay. 1-877-500-5266. As we now go to the KBOO.
We're going to take a moment before we get to the KBOO evening news. Yeah. But you know what? We just can't talk enough about how awesome KBOO is. There's the phone.
There's the phone ringing.
There's the phone ringing. We need more of those phones ringing. Once again, 877-500-5266.
16th, 2008, KBOO was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until February 1st, 2014. Our license will expire on February 1st, 2014. We filed an application for license renewal with the FCC. A copy of this application is available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning the station's performance since May 16th, 2008. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether the station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by January 2nd, 2014. Further information concerning the Commission's broadcast license renewal process is available at KBOO Studios at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
Don't let Rupert Murdoch control your newscasts. The KBOO Evening News provides breaking news about local issues, from water fluoridation to immigration raids. We bring you daily coverage of what's going on in Portland, Cascadia, and around the world. Tune in every weekday at 5 for the KBOO Evening News on KBOO, your community radio station.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the U.S. government shutdown may finally be over as the Senate proposes a deal.
The Portland Association of Teachers has a meeting tonight to discuss its continued contract negotiations with the district.
Tense discussions continue in the debate over foreign policy with Iran.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling right now at 877-500-5266. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. The government shutdown is in its closing chapter, as the Senate is currently voting on a deal that will reopen the government. The House is expected to pass its version of the deal tomorrow. This bipartisan initiative to raise the U.S. debt limit and reopen the government is about to pass in the Senate, and both parties say they are confident it will have enough votes to pass the House as well. Aides to John Boehner reported to senior Senate staff today that the House will vote on the bill first, and that it appears certain to pass with enough votes. Democrat Harry Reid and Republican leader Mitch McConnell both spoke to the bill, which is being hailed as a bipartisan compromise which will reopen the government and delay a government default until early next year.
It's never easy for two sides to reach consensus. It's really hard, sometimes harder than others. This time was really hard. But after weeks spent facing off across a partisan divide that often seemed too wide to cross, our country came to the brink of a disaster. But in the end, political adversaries set aside their differences and disagreements to prevent that disaster. I thank the Republican leader for his diligent efforts to reach this important agreement. Republican leaders' cooperation was essential to reach an accord that could pass both chambers of Congress and also be signed by President Obama. As part of our agreement, in order to assure Congress continues the work of setting this country on a path of fiscal sustainability, this legislation instructs leaders to name conferees to a budget conference committee that will set our country on a long-term path to fiscal sustainability. Madam President, I know that some say that's going to be hard, but what we do is hard here, and this is really hard, but I think we can get it done. The committee members selected must have open minds, be willing to consider every option, no matter how painful to their own political ideas and even their own political parties. This conference committee, led by Chairman Murray and Chairman Ryan, which will produce its negotiated budget resolution in December, is the appropriate place to discuss our differing views of the best way to chart a course for economic growth. This legislation also funds the government through January 15th and averts default through February 7th, during which time we can work toward a long-term budget agreement that prevents these frequent crises. And perhaps most importantly, this legislation ends a standoff to ground the work of Washington to a halt this fall. Madam President, this is not a time for pointing fingers of blame. This is a time of reconciliation. I look forward to working with my colleagues on both sides of this great capital to pass this remarkable agreement, which will protect the long-term health of our economy and avert a default on our nation's debt and allow us to set a foundation for economic expansion. What we've done is sent a message to Americans from every one of our 50 states, but in addition to that, to the citizens of every country in the world, that the United States lives up to its obligations. Now Congress must return to its most important job, fostering economic growth and protecting middle-class families. I appreciate through all this the steady hand of President Obama who helped guide us to this conclusion. I'm optimistic that the spirit of compromise that has taken root in the Senate over the last 2 days will endure. I do know this. Senator McConnell and I have sat in very, very serious discussions the last few days. We're going to do everything we can to change the atmosphere in the Senate and accomplish things that need to be done for our country.
Madam President.
The Republican leader.
This has been a long, challenging few weeks for Congress and for the country. It's my hope that today we can put some of those most urgent issues behind us. After yesterday's events, the Majority Leader and I began a series of conversations about a way to get the government reopened and to prevent default. I'm confident we'll be able to do both those things later today. Crucially, I'm also confident that we'll be able to announce that we're protecting the government spending reductions that both parties agreed to under the Budget Control Act and that the President signed into law. That's been a top priority for me and for my colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle throughout this debate, and it's been worth the effort. Some have suggested that we break that promise as part of this agreement. Some have said Washington needs to spend more, that we need to raise taxes, that we need to just tax our way to prosperity and balance. But what the BCA showed is that Washington actually can cut spending, and because of this law, that's just what we've done. For the first time since the Korean War, government spending has declined for 2 years in a row, and we're not going back on this agreement. There's a lot more we need to do to get our nation's fiscal house in order. Hopefully, once we've gotten past the drama of the moment, we can get to work on it. But for now, let's not understate the importance of the Budget Control Act or the importance of the fight to preserve it. This legislation is the largest spending reduction bill of the last quarter century, and the largest deficit reduction bill since 1981 that didn't include a tax hike. Preserving this law is critically important to the future of our country. Throughout this debate, the public has rightly focused on Obamacare for good reason. This law is ravaging our economy, killing jobs, driving up premiums, and driving people off the health care plans they have and like in droves. Its disastrous rollout is a sign of even worse things to come. And the refusal to delay it reflects a kind of stubborn ideological obsession that will do untold damage to our country. And Republicans remain determined to repeal this terrible law. But for today, the relief we hope for is to reopen the government, avoid default, and protect the historic cuts we achieved under the Budget Control Act. This is far less than many of us had hoped for, frankly, but it's far better than what some had sought. Now it's time for Republicans to unite behind other crucial goals.
The bill has been put to vote, and the Senate has extended today's session into the evening to ensure that all members have a chance to vote.
The Portland Association of Teachers has been in contract negotiations with the school district for months now and have assembled a new preamble to their contract titled "The School Portland Students Deserve." Gwen Sullivan, president of the Portland Association of Teachers, will speak about the preamble and other concerns in teaching tonight at 7 o'clock at Jefferson High School. Gwen Sullivan spoke with KBOO's Peter Schoaf earlier this afternoon about the bargaining process and what changes teachers are hoping to effect with the contract.
Interest-based bargaining is basically, at least the way it was described to us, is that you would
come together, and both sides would come together at the same time with school board members, everybody would be there, and you would come together and lay out what are perceived issues, problems. You lay them all out there, and then we start to describe and talk about what each of those problems are and why it seems to be a problem. It's actually a conversation you would have where, let's say, they would think that they have a problem with absences, just as an example. Then we'd say, well, what do you mean? It shouldn't be used that way. That's not our interpretation. Then you say, oh, well, you just take that one off because it's not being used correctly in the first place. Or it's more of a time when you get to talk through perceived issues, where traditional bargaining is where we have our proposal, they have their proposal, and often they are inflated on both sides because you know that you have to eventually give up something to get something. We did a listening session with all of our members, all of the teachers and professional educators. So we basically asked three simple questions. The first was, what brings you joy in your profession? The second was, what sucks away your energy when it has to having to do with your job? And the third was, how can PAT help? That was it. And predominantly, it was over 99% what brings you joy it all was about students. In some way, shape, or form, students. Not a surprise, right? What sucks away your energy varied, but it was really strong, and their inability to do what they knew that they needed to do on behalf of their kids. Their workload was too huge. They have too many students. They can't meet the needs of individual students. There's not enough time in the day to do their work. There's not enough time to meet, to collaborate. It was over and over and over. There's a history that is not that long ago when Superintendent Vicki Phillips, who now works for the Gates Foundation, she took a number of schools and turned them all into K-8s. And these K-8s, the idea was that these 6th through 8th graders would still have the same opportunities as you would if you would go to a middle school. And the reality is that never happened. And so even in some of our schools, the chairs that these large eighth graders sit on are meant for primary kids. So even the science labs they don't have them. There isn't any. So, you know, there are still huge inequities when it comes to decisions that have been made by people in the past. So then if you have the know-how to get your kids into another school, you do, which leaves less for the neighborhood school rather than really dealing with the serious problem of the inequities in our district.
That was Gwen Sullivan, the president of the Portland Association of Teachers. She stopped by KBOO Studios today to talk about the ongoing negotiations between Portland's Union of Teachers and the district administrators.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Wren and Rolf to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Wren Green. I'm here with Rolf Semperbon. And today, at the 250 donation, we've got a very special thank you gift for listeners and news fans. PSU's Simon Benson Awards Dinner is next Tuesday at 5:30 at the Oregon Convention Center, and their guest speaker is Anderson Cooper. These are two tickets, all ages, so you hardcore news fans, call on in that $250 donation and get that dinner.
And that dinner normally costs $250, so you're getting the a KBOO membership for free when you do that.
So. Indeed, indeed. And you get a dinner. So call in now for the Anderson Cooper tickets, 877-500-5266. What do we got for us, Rolf?
Oh, I'd like to thank Teresa in North Portland, who is a new member who just joined. She called 877-500-5266. And you can do that, too, and support the KBOO Evening News. We got several volunteers. It takes many volunteers to put a news cast together. And I'm not even sure how many, since I don't do news and public affairs like Ren does. But they do it out of the love for this radio station and the love for bringing you the real news and not the corporate filtered stuff that, it doesn't really help you out, so please make that call.
Yeah, not only that, but our news team is an entry-level point for many of our volunteers. I have talked to so many old-timers. I've been here 2.5 years. I've talked to a lot of old-timers who got their start in the newsroom 10 years ago, 15 years ago. A lot of people have touched the news department. It is a launching point for many of us volunteers here in public affairs. And if you want to continue to support our learning experiences, we are at 877-500-5266, or you can get us at kboo.fm if you don't want to turn away from that dial. You want to keep on listening when you make that donation. Or if you're out and about already on this absolutely gorgeous day, you can come on in and see us here in Membership Central at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
So yeah, please make that call now. We're going to go back to the news very shortly, but you can make that call, 877-500-5266. All we're asking for is $40, $60, whatever you can afford, but make that call now, 877-500-5266.
And for one lucky member who is willing to fork out $250, we have got that Anderson Cooper dinner a week from yesterday at the Oregon Convention Center, PSU's dinner celebration. So if you want to go see Anderson Cooper and help us at the same time, call 877-500-5266. And there we go. Now back to the news.
Today is World Food Day, and although the government is on track to reopen, the future remains uncertain for thousands of Oregon families struggling with food insecurity. Many hungry Oregonians look to the federal government's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, for help getting food on the table. About 1 in 5 Oregon households also relies on assistance from the Oregon Food Bank, which collects and distributes food throughout Oregon and southwest Washington. Since the recession began in 2008, OFB has seen a 41% increase in distribution of its emergency food boxes. In 2009, the federal government passed the American Recovery and Investment Act. The act boosted nutritional aid to American families by $45 billion every year. These additional benefits are set to expire November 1st, at which point families of four could see their monthly benefit of $668 cut by 5%. In September, the U.S. House voted to cut SNAP funding by $35 billion over the next decade. KBOO reporter Aaron J. Bernard spoke with Pat Kazmierik, Marketing and Communications Manager for the Oregon Food Bank, about hunger in Oregon and how changes to federal food aid could affect Oregon families.
How many food boxes is the Oregon Food Bank providing to Oregon families on a monthly basis?
Well, we average it out. We've been providing over 1 million emergency food boxes annually for the last 2 years, and that would be about 96,000 boxes per month. An emergency food box is designed to feed a family of about four for 3 days, so you can get a sense of how much food would be included in a food box that way.
And is the number of food boxes you're providing on the rise or on the decline?
You know, it's really stabilized this year. We're hoping that means that the huge rise in need that we've seen since the recession is finally starting to abate a little bit. There's been about 8,000 less emergency food boxes distributed this year, but we're still well over 1 million emergency food boxes for the year.
Throughout the course of the government shutdown, there's been concern about how furloughs might impact Americans' ability to feed their families. Has the Oregon Food Bank heard from anybody who's concerned about this?
We have heard from people who are concerned about the funding available for their SNAP or supplemental food assistance programs. And what we've heard in our conversations with the state and with the Department of Human Services is that funding is available for the SNAP program through the end of this month. And that seems to have allayed some fears for the immediate, but we're beginning to be concerned that if this shutdown continues into November, that there could be a complete end to SNAP funding as of November 1st if money is not available. And at that point, I would imagine that SNAP recipients would be quite alarmed if they go to the store and find out that there is really no money left on their cards to purchase any food. The American Recovery Act is going to expire, and everyone is anticipating that those cuts, which will be about a 4% cut, will go into effect as of November 1st. So we are anticipating that, you know, the dollars that people need for food assistance are going to be reduced as of November 1st, and we will probably see an increase in hunger across Oregon starting in November. What we are more concerned about, I believe, is the fact that Congress is considering doing even more radical reductions to the SNAP-funded program, and we may end up having a much more urgent situation occurring if that legislation does get passed.
On World Food Day, what would you want Oregonians to know about hunger in their state?
I would say that even though we often hear about hunger in third world countries around the world, there is a serious hunger problem right here in Oregon. It's right in our neighborhoods, and families who have lost jobs during the recession may be your neighbors.
That was Aaron J. Bernard speaking with Pat Kaczmarek of the Oregon Food Bank. The Oregon Food Bank's annual Harvest Dinner fundraiser is set for this Saturday, October 19th. To find out more, go online to www.oregonfoodbank.org.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Androids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
The City of Beaverton has formally accepted grants from the Environmental Protection Agency to help its efforts to clean up properties contaminated with hazardous waste or petroleum. KBOO reporter Jemai Cherry has more on what the city plans to do with the funds.
A brownfield is a term used by the Environmental Protection Agency to describe a contaminated property. The City of Beaverton has close to 60 such environmental cleanup sites, according to the state's DEQ database. At last night's Beaverton City Council meeting, the city voted to accept two federal grants to further assess the depth of the problem. Many of the properties are former gas stations that are holding up future development, but the rest range widely in scope and severity, from several closed cleaners to Jesuit High School to a former sewage plant. The $400,000 in grant money will help the city to analyze the cost of cleanup and redevelopment on only a handful of sites. However, the city believes that it's a good place to start. This is Jemai Cherry with KBOO News.
Enrollments began early this month for the Health Benefit Exchange. Nearly 25,000 residents have signed up. Another 37,000 residents also completed online applications, which are awaiting payment. It's estimated that about 1 in 7 Washingtonians currently does not have health insurance. Washington residents have 6 months to buy health insurance during the first enrollment period, ending in March.
Oregon same-sex couples are still being excluded from certain federal benefits, despite the Supreme Court ruling that struck down the Defense of Marriage Act.
The IRS ruled in August that same-sex couples married in other states may receive federal tax benefits in Oregon, even though same-sex marriage is illegal under the Oregon Constitution. This is because Oregon has a domestic partnership law that allows federal benefits for domestic partners, including same-sex couples. In Illinois, where a similar domestic partnership law exists, the IRS ruled to allow same-sex domestic partners to be considered as married couples under the new federal mandate. But Oregon has not yet implemented the decision in the state. Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon is co-sponsoring a bill to create tax parity for domestic partners to prevent the tax penalties that these couples continue to face under Oregon state law.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. And now it is your turn. Joining us are Ren and Rolf to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yes, you can call 877-500-5266. All we're asking for is $40, $60, whatever you can afford. Twice a year we come to you and ask you for money because this is how we keep going. We do not have advertising. We do not break up our programming every 10 or 12 minutes, you know, to sell you stuff you don't need. Instead, we survive on your support, your donations, your tax-deductible donations that you give us by calling 877-500-5266.
And in addition to Anderson Cooper tickets, we've at the $120 donation, we've got the 4-gig audio flash drive that has exclusive KBOO content. It includes recorded talks by Bill McKibben, Amy Goodman, Greg Palast, Raj Patel, plus a number of other specials produced right here in our own KBOO studios, just like our local news. Yeah, our local news teams are comprised of regular individuals just like yourself. We vote in the same elections. We shop in the same stores. We ride the same public transportation. We care about
the same bicycle path.
The same bike path. We walk the same sidewalks. We have the same concerns that you do, so that when a local story comes up, we've got people making the calls, trying to bring us the story, because we know it's going to matter to you, because it matters to us, and we're your neighbors. So call and support us, 877-500-5266, or you can go to kboo.fm. But we'd love to hear these phones ring. We'd love to hear these phones ring soon.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank the restaurants that helped us out today. You know, every day during our pledge drive, various restaurants donate food to keep the volunteers here happy and bring them in and keep working. Today's meals were provided by Jam Cafe. Jam Cafe on 2239 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Pettis Co. on 1411 Northeast Broadway. And Cabazon at 5200 Northeast Sacramento Street. They help us out, and so you can too if you call 877-500-5266. You can also come here in person, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, or you can go to kboo.fm.
Our food donors, we really appreciate what they're bringing to the table today, literally. They are keeping us gassed and ready to keep answering those phones. And they decided, all these fine establishments have decided, that they would like to contribute a little something to our pledge drive. And that's what they could bring to us. What can you bring to us? You can bring us your cash, 877-500-5266. Remember that a $120 donation annually is only $2.31 a week. $2.31 a week. That is a cup of coffee at any major coffee establishment. That is you can skip that cup of coffee, brew one at home, and know that you've done something really great for your community by supporting us here at KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Let's see if we can get those phones ringing.
Yeah, and KBOO, we bring you news, public affairs. We also bring music. If you tune in during other times on our radio station, you'll hear every type of music, jazz, early rock and roll, blues, bluegrass, Grateful Dead, reggae, experimental music, hip-hop, just about any type of music that exists. And it we're able to do that because we're representing the 99% of the spectrum out there. Even though we're only 1% of the airwaves, so we are the 99%. You know, we're not the 1%. The media controlled by the 1% that you know is on the rest of the airwaves. So.
We're not millionaires. Nope. We're not millionaires. We're giving our time.
We're not even thousandaires. Some of us aren't even thousandaires. 877-500-5266 is our toll-free number. You can call that from Salem, from Portland, from Vancouver, from the Columbia Gorge, from the Willamette Valley. 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm.
And with our internet, with our internet reach, we could even take calls from Guam or Antarctica.
I don't think we can do that, can we?
Dream big, Rolf. Dream big.
Yes.
577-500-5266 or kboo.fm, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, if you want to bring your smiling face on in here to Membership Central. And now, back to the evening news.
This just in, the Senate has just completed its vote on a deal that will reopen the government. The Senate approved the deal 81-18 just a few minutes ago. President Obama is scheduled to make a televised statement about the deal in the next few minutes. You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Occupy Portland Radio at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather is going to be sunny with a high of 70 degrees.
It is 5:31. Time now for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
I don't normally do obits. There are so many of them, they tend to be downers, and, well, we're all headed toward one, so why focus on the morbid? But here's a passing that truly deserves our notice, for his life was lived exceptionally well. An original thinker, progressive activist, rebellious scholar, eloquent writer, and inspirational teacher, Larry Goodwin gave us the gift of a bigger, bolder understanding of America's historic striving for egalitarianism. By word and deed, Goodwin rewrote the textbook story of our nation by focusing on the enormous potential of grassroots people. Rather than the impotent theory that workers, farmers, poor people, and the rest of us riffraff are dependent on the great man to come along and lead us toward economic, political, and social progress, Goodwin revealed that real progress comes from the mavericks and mutts who dare to challenge the great men. For 3 decades, he was a Duke University professor, but not a complacent resident of the ivory tower. He came to academics honestly, from being an activist in the struggle for justice and opportunity for all. From Goodwin's muckraking days as a fiery editor of the Texas Observer, and then as a passionate organizer in the civil rights movement, he didn't just read history, he experienced and practiced it on dangerous turf. It was my good luck to know and be inspired by Goodwin. His powerful, eye-opening book, Democratic Promise, The Populist Moment in American History, brings to life that 19th-century people's revolt against corporate greed, providing a cultural framework for rebuilding a populist movement today. As one of Goodwin's colleagues wrote, he made this history vivid and touchable. He encouraged us to dream democracy anew. This is Jim Hightower saying, check out Larry Goodwin's Democratic Promise and recommit to realizing that dream.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
JPMorgan Chase will pay a $100 million penalty for admittedly distorting prices during a series of London trades in what became known as the LIBOR scandal. The trades ultimately resulted in the bank suffering $6 billion in losses. The settlement was announced Wednesday. This was less than a month after the company agreed to pay $920 million and admit fault in an agreement with the Securities and Exchange Commission and other U.S. and British regulators. No bankers have faced any jail time for their role in manipulating worldwide interest rates to increase their profits.
The Obama administration has filed a brief with the Supreme Court in an attempt to stop them from hearing a challenge to the National Security Agency's telephone records collection program. In July, the Electronic Privacy Information Center filed a petition to the court saying the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court overstepped its bounds in ordering Verizon to give the NSA all telephone communications in the U.S., including local phone calls. That petition marked the first NSA challenge to be brought before the Supreme Court. Previously, challenges have addressed lower courts. But this week, Obama's Solicitor General filed a brief in response to the petition, urging the court not to hear the case, saying it lacked jurisdiction. The government brief defends the NSA spy program, arguing that data about virtually every phone call to, from, or within the United States in the past 5 years is relevant to terrorism investigations.
Parts of the U.S. government have been shut down, but the National Security Agency has been busy harvesting vast amounts of personal contact information from email and instant messaging accounts. According to top-secret documents released by whistleblower Edward Snowden, the agency has been collecting records both domestic and overseas, even turning its gaze on Americans. Speaking to FSN's Kevin McAleese, Rachel Levinson-Waldman from Washington's Brennan Center for Justice says that it's another clear abuse of basic American rights.
The reason is that while, as you say, the NSA is targeting overseas, there's a lot of Americans' communications getting swept up as well. And that could happen in a few different ways. One is sort of the most basic, Americans traveling or living overseas. Their information could then get included just the same way that anyone else overseas. Another way is an American who communicates with somebody who's being targeted, so their contact information might be in, you know, an address list or a buddy list of somebody overseas. And the third way, and I think this is the one that in some ways is most troubling to people because it's so broad, is simply that the way a lot of companies operate today, you think about Google, Facebook, these really major kind of data and communications companies, they have servers overseas. They are transmitting so much data that some of it has to go through overseas points so they can process all of it. And by virtue of the fact that it kind of touches overseas points, that information could get swept up as well.
In defense of this bulk collection of data, we had the NSA director Keith B. Alexander saying that, you know, you need a haystack to find a needle.
You know, I think some of the NSA's own documents in some ways are the best response to Director Alexander. The NSA's internal documents have said we are getting so much information in a lot of cases that we don't know what to do with it. So I think they say that something like 20% of the collection that they were doing in 2012 was what they call ownerless address books. They don't know who the owner is. The NSA itself says these are highly repetitive, they're large. The NSA itself says they're doing excessive collection, gross over collection. And what we know from a lot of different contexts, from reviews of other of attacks, of near attacks, is that almost uniformly one of the major sort of errors leading up is that there's too much information, that it's too hard for the intelligence agencies, for the FBI, you name it, to sift through what they already have. And so this sort of dragnet collection seems to get in the way more than anything. Certainly in this country and in other countries as well, unfortunately, what we have is a history of abuse of information that's gathered sort of for domestic security reasons. So we don't see that this kind of large-scale collection, in fact, gives enough bang for its buck, that it's very efficient.
That was Rachel Levinson-Waldman from Washington's Brennan Center for Justice.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us are Ren and Rolf to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right. You can keep supporting KBOO Community Radio. You can support this exact show, the local news, and you can do it with a $100 minimum donation. You will get the 2014 Portland Chinook Book, the print version, which has hundreds of coupons for local businesses and in the categories of grocery, dining, entertainment, travel, garden, and home. Things that you can acquire locally, that you can get to locally, because we are local community supported radio. We are local producers of media content, and we are your neighbors. We are your neighbors. We're people you know. 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
Yeah, that's right. We are community radio. We are local. We're the people's radio station. And we need your donations to help us keep going, because we cannot do it without you. The phone number is 877-500-5266. We can either send you a bill, we can take a credit card, we take MasterCard, Visa, and Discover, I believe. Or you can set up a thing where we take $5 out of your bank account, or $10 or whatever. But it's up to you to choose how much you want to give us. It's not like the electric company or the cable company, and the cable company says, hey, you're going to pay us this amount, and you got to pay it. And KBOO provides you a lot more than the cable company does, because you're actually a member and an owner of this radio station. 877-500-5266. If you appreciate the news and public affairs that you hear every morning on KBOO, as well as every evening, brought to you by volunteers. I'm a volunteer. Ren is a volunteer. The guy in the newsroom is a volunteer.
Ian.
The people reading to you are volunteers.
Brian and Aaron.
The people answering the phones are volunteers. We're all volunteers here. We got a few paid staff that help make sure the whole thing doesn't fall apart. But everyone else is a volunteer. And that's why you need to volunteer some of your money to us. 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm, but it doesn't happen unless you make that call or you make that commitment and show your support for the radio station that keeps you going, and so that you can help keep us going.
Well, most of us here are volunteers. We've got 6 paid staff, but the people who make this happen, we're volunteers. Our listeners, you volunteer to give us your ears on a daily basis, and we need your contribution. We need your financial contribution at 877-500-5266, or you can come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and we also have internet, kboo.fm. But we need your support to keep going. We have to have that money, and now we're going to go back to the news.
Amnesty International today called for the immediate release of Angola 3 member Albert Woodfox. Woodfox, along with Herman Wallace and Robert King, were put in solitary confinement in Louisiana State Penitentiary, also known as Angola Prison, after the murder of a prison guard in 1972. Angola is infamous for turning from a slave plantation into a prison where mainly African American prisoners pick cotton under duress. According to Amnesty International, no physical evidence tied the 3 men to the crime scene, and the testimony of the main eyewitness has been discredited. In July, Amnesty International called for the release of Herman Wallace, who had advanced liver cancer. He was released on October 1st and died 3 days later. Now, Amnesty International plans to deliver a petition with more than 20,000 signatures calling for the immediate release of the last of the Angola 3 remaining in prison, Albert Woodfox. KBOO's Ken Jones spoke with Jasmine Heiss of Amnesty International for more on this story.
Jasmine is coming on the program today to talk to us about a press conference that Amnesty International is holding in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, next Monday. And Jasmine, what's the purpose of the press conference?
Well, at the press conference, Amnesty International will be joined by the Angola 3 Coalition and many of the legislative champions and supporters of the Angola 3 as we deliver petitions on behalf of prisoner Albert Woodfox. Many may have heard of the case of the Angola 3 in the recent months. After being held in solitary confinement for more than 40 years, one of the members, Herman Wallace, was released on October 1st when his conviction was overturned. He died of liver cancer 3 days later. So really, to harness the incredible sort of momentum that came from Herman's release and then the sadness that came from his death, we are redoubling our calls to the authorities in Louisiana to release Albert Woodfox. So we'll be delivering more than 20,000 petitions that have been signed in a very short time, calling on the Attorney General to make that happen. As you may know, Amnesty is a global movement, and so we work both here in the United States as the U.S. section, but we represent more than 3 million people around the world who are calling for human rights change.
Now, Albert Woodfox, along with Herman Wallace and Robert King, they were put in solitary confinement in Angola prison after the murder of a prison guard in 1972. Apparently, there was no physical evidence that ever tied the three men to the crime scene?
Correct. Robert King, in fact, was never convicted of that crime. He was investigated, but instead convicted of murdering another inmate, and he was released after 29 years in solitary. But yes, both Woodfox and Wallace were placed in solitary confinement immediately following Brent Miller's murder, despite the fact that no physical evidence tied them to the crime. As you noted, that eyewitnesses later recanted their testimony. Potentially exculpatory evidence was mysteriously lost by the state, and it came to light that the key eyewitness was actually bribed into testifying against these men. They maintain that they were put in solitary in retaliation for their work organizing in Angola prison. In the time that they were incarcerated, it was really the most violent prison in America. And so they were, you know, co-founders of the Black Panther Party chapter in Angola prison. And they were organizing against endemic sexual slavery, against the segregation of inmates, and really trying to make change within the prison.
Now, was Amnesty International involved with the release of Herman Wallace, again, which was just at the beginning of this month?
Prior to his release, more than 110,000 Amnesty International supporters from around the world called on the governor to release him. So, you know, mobilizing that many voices, we hope, certainly created an environment where this kind of change could come about. He was released when his conviction was overturned by a district federal judge who ruled that because women were systematically excluded from the jury, his conviction should have been overturned. It could no longer stand. And really, this judge made the decision in the last days of Herman's life.
Now, why was Wallace released and not Woodfox at the time? Was that because of Wallace's medical condition? He had liver cancer.
Well, the men were tried separately, and so their convictions have been overturned separately. Woodfox's conviction has now actually been overturned three times, but every time the state has really dogmatically appealed the court's decision in his favor. And so, you know, for some of us watching the case, it begs the question, is the state really pursuing justice now that they've kept the men in solitary confinement for, you know, four decades after a flawed conviction, or are they really just pursuing vengeance? You know, after decades of litigation, after a conviction that's been overturned now three times, our call is clear. We're calling for the Louisiana authorities to act in the name of compassion and in the name of justice. And so we hope that that call will prevail.
We've been talking with Jasmine Heiss of Amnesty International. This is Ken Jones of KBOO News.
Ex-Liberian President Charles Taylor was transferred to a British prison on Tuesday. Britain agreed to take Taylor after he was sentenced to 50 years in prison for crimes against humanity. Taylor's request to be imprisoned in Liberia to make family visits easier was denied by the court. His sentence was the first to be handed down against a former head of state by an international court since the Nuremberg war trials of Nazi war criminals. Taylor, who started a violent rebellion in Liberia in 1989, supported the rebels there that killed 120,000 people. In exchange for receiving blood diamonds mined by slave labor, he provided weapons to these rebels. As president, he promoted a rebellion in Sierra Leone that was famous for its mutilations, drugged child soldiers, and young sex slaves. Charles Taylor is likely to spend the remainder of his life in confinement.
There's been another day of key talks over Iran's nuclear program in Geneva between world power and Iranian officials. Iranian media sources have suggested lower uranium enrichment levels could be part of an agreement which the nation hopes will see an easing of tough U.S.-led sanctions. The talks are the first since the election of President Hassan Rouhani, who has been credited with a shift in tone over the issue. For one take on the discussions with Iran, FSN's Mary McCarthy talked to Iranian-born author Reza Aslan, who says while the turnaround is positive, there's a long road ahead.
These conversations are just starting. They're going to take a long time. There's a lot of mistrust on both sides, a lot of skepticism, and a lot of reason to not be necessarily optimistic that this will go anywhere. But we do have an opportunity here. There is a difference in these conversations that we haven't seen before, a different emphasis both on the American side and on the Iranian side. The path is before us for a breakthrough, not just in the nuclear negotiations, but for a kind of rapprochement between the United States and Iran. But it's going to require patience, diligence, and there are people on both sides who do not want this negotiation to succeed. There are vested interests in the United States, as in the Islamic Republic of Iran, who actually benefit from this ongoing distrust, this ongoing conflict between the Iranians and the Americans, and will do everything in their power to keep negotiations from succeeding. They cannot be allowed to succeed.
And meanwhile, you have Israel who's saying, you know, wait, nothing has changed. That, well, this new president is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's one of the vested interests that I'm referring to. I mean, Israel, for its own domestic reasons, does not want to see any kind of rapprochement between the U.S. And Iran, but that's also true of Saudi Arabia. I mean, oftentimes, I think when people talk about the obstacles in the way of Iranian and American engagement, Israel always comes up because that's an easy one. It's front and center. But what is a far greater obstacle to American and Iranian rapprochement is Saudi Arabia. After all, we get 60% of our foreign oil from Saudi Arabia. Iran sits on the second largest supply of natural gas and oil on the planet. A warming of ties between the Americans and the Iranians would be very bad for the Saudi bottom line. And they have done everything in their power over the last three decades to make sure that that never happens. And they are working hard to continue to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Most people would say that the most pressing issue in the Middle East these days is Syria. What would you like to see happen there?
The civil war has degenerated to a place now where it's hard to imagine how we can come out of this without further bloodshed. I mean, basically, what I think the American administration has decided is that they prefer to see Bashar al-Assad stay in power than deal with what comes next, which is why you don't hear anyone in the Obama administration speaking the way that they were speaking 18 months ago, talking about Assad's days are numbered, that he needs to be removed from office. It's been a long time since anyone at the State Department made that kind of message or presented that kind of message when it comes to Syria. We waited too long, I think, for a truly robust response to this conflict, and now the conflict has taken on a life of its own.
150 Georgian servicemen returned from Afghanistan on Wednesday. The Georgian soldiers were participating in a peacekeeping operation as part of the international mission in Afghanistan. At the same time, a deal between the Afghan president and U.S. officials this week have led to a proposal by the Afghan president that U.S. troops remain in the country beyond next year's supposed deadline for withdrawal. In Pakistan today, a suicide bomber shot his way into the residence of a provincial government minister and then blew himself up. The blast killed the governor, the attacker, and seven others. An additional 30 people were wounded in this attack.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ken Jones, Peter Schoaf, and Aaron J. Bernard. The producer is Jemai Cherry. Special thanks to Simon Marks and FSN. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath, on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with Randy Shaw, author of The Activist Handbook, Winning Social Change in the 21st Century. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagerin interviews Dmitry Orlov about his latest book, The Five Stages of Collapse. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris André. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, hear a two-part Between the Covers show. First, Gene Bradley interviews mystery writer Craig Johnson about his new Sheriff Longmire novella called The Spirit of Steamboat. And in the second half of the show, Lisa Lummi interviews writer Jesmyn Ward about her new memoir, Men We Reaped. Ward writes about growing up in poverty with a family struggling to stay together and survive in the rural South. Coming up next is... I apologize, I don't actually know what we have coming up next, but I can tell you what we have coming up right now. We're going to go to Ren and Rolf again to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
Yes, coming up next will be Occupy Radio, but coming up right now, it's Ren and Rolf asking you for money to help keep us going. We just had our hour-long news, which used to only be half an hour, but we used to run the Free Speech Radio News, FSNR or whatever, FSRN?
FSRN.
FSRN. But unfortunately, they kind of went out of business because they didn't get enough support. But that's not going to happen here at KBOO because we have you, the listeners, calling us at 877-500-5266. KBOO is the only place where you're going to find out about Occupy and the 99% and have it treated as what it really is and not just have it being kind of treated as, oh, those weird people that are camping out. And of course, a lot of people don't realize that the Occupy is still happening. It's not like it was just some kind of movement that just kind of happened and went away. There's still a lot of stuff that's going on, and that's what you're going to hear about in about 5 minutes.
Occupy is still alive and well here in Portland, and it is being covered by us here at KBOO.
Right, and we're the only ones covering it because we are the 99%. We represent all of you out there. We represent everybody except for the millionaires that are the 1%. So if you're one of the 99%, you need to call us. 877-500-5266, or you can donate online at kboo.fm, or you can come down in person, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
If you're wondering where KBOO gets its money, 83% of our funding comes directly from individuals exactly like yourself. The person who's just sitting in the living room, sitting in your car, listening to your phone, you are...
Listening to their phone?
Yes, okay. People listen to their phones.
Okay.
Welcome to the 21st century. Membership drive donations account for 60% of all individual giving to KBOO. Those are people like you who are willing to pick up their phones right now and dial 877-500-5266. And coming up next in Occupy Radio Land... Jimmy Tardy, co-host, has offered up a $60 matching grant. So for anyone who calls in the next hour to make a pledge, a $60 pledge, that is going to turn into a $100 pledge for KBOO. We are going to double our money. And in fact, when I was pitching the other night and somebody offered a matching grant, one of our callers called in and offered double the pledge. So we actually tripled our money on that matching grant. So let's see if we can make that kind of magic this evening during the Occupy Radio Show. 877-500-5266.
Yes, you hear all sorts of news and public affairs here that you're not going to hear other places. You can just see by, you know, where, you know, when Ian gave us a list of what was coming up, or no, who gave us? Somebody gave us a list of what's coming up tomorrow morning. You listen to all this stuff that we air. Book talk. We have news. We have the all this public affairs stuff. We do stuff on theater and on graphic novels and everything. And it doesn't happen without your support because we are all volunteers here. We do it with your support, and we do it out of the love for radio and the love for information and the love for music. Our music programmers they know their music. And our news and public affairs people, they're not just a voice, you know, intoning what the news is. They know what's happening. And so if you want to know what's happening, you listen to this radio station. You know that. That's why you're listening to it. But you've got to know that we need your support. We need your donations to help us to keep going. 877-500-5266. Donate online at kboo.fm. You can come down in person at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. But it only happens when you make that call, when you make that commitment to help us out. $40, $60, $100, whatever you can afford. Every little bit helps. You know, don't think, oh, someone else will do it, because you can do it right now. Join the 99% and help the 99% get that word out. We are the 99% radio. Even though we're only 1% of the airwaves, we represent the 99%. 99% of the music that's out there, 99% of the news and public affairs. Support Occupy Radio, support the KBOO Evening News, and all the other great stuff that comes along with it with your donation. 877-500-5266. Call now. Don't wait. Call now and give us some support.
One more time. That is 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM, or come see us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Membership Central is waiting for you.
And we're now going to go to...
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, Portland 91.9 FM, Hood River in the Gorge 104.3 FM, Philomath and Corvallis. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 in Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net. You are listening to Occupy Radio.
It's about time.
Party. KBOO is proud to present a KBOO dance party with live salsa and Latin jazz.
Hi, I'm Nick Geffro, host of Jazz Lives on KBOO. I brought back my 9-piece salsa and Latin jazz band, Palante. We have some exciting musicians, including lead vocalist Isa Perez from Havana, Cuba. And Palante is putting on a KBOO benefit salsa dance party. Come hear us on Sunday night, October 20th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Celebrate with us on the big dance floor at Fontainebleau Nightclub. The club is at Northeast 3rd and Broadway in Portland.
Meet new friends and enjoy a KBOO community event with some exciting Latin flavor. That's Palante, Sunday, October 20th, from 6:30.